This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Because I think that we do have a generational divide, especially on the last day of school for a lot of people out there. Oh, is today your guys' last day?
Is that it?
No, but it is graduation day.
Ah.
So it's been a little hectic around our house.
Yeah, it's our last day of school over there. Everybody's moving on up.
The younger ones all have until like next Wednesday for
Ooh.
Us.
Yeah. Ooh. Well,
we take heat days.
That's the end. Oh.
That's not why, but.
Oh. Well, it's the end of the line for us. So everybody who made it to the end of another year, congratulations on all your success. And for everybody graduating, congratulations on all your success. Get out there and get a job. Coming up at 8 o'clock, a man who has a job who's gainfully employed, Daryl Ryder, joins us on the show. Will Shador Sanders get team reps? And the new look, DeJuan Jones. I don't know if anybody's seen some of the video out there of him at OTAs. He looks like he's lost 50 pounds. He looks fantastic right now. And you know that this is a pro DeJuan Jones show. We love him. And I'm looking forward to what his season is. Because I know that they're not moving at full speed in any of the videos. I didn't get a chance to see him this last week. But he's looking fantastic. I want to ask Nathan Zagura about DeJuan Jones coming up at 9:02 as well. So, like, is it guaranteed that Shador is going to make the team and start a game this year? Because I think a lot of Browns fans are like, absolutely. But when you listen to some of the stuff nationally, when you hear some of the clips and some of the things that are said, I throw my hands up in the air. I go, what are we missing? Like, I know that every now and then you and I'm going to get to the phones here in a second. You and I ask, are you and I in the bubble about some of this stuff? Are we in a Cleveland bubble and we don't see it from a national perspective? So you try to see it, and I go, man, there's people having a fight that I just don't think that it's going to happen here. Not between Browns fans. That Shador Sanders is going to make this roster, and he is, because of just the circumstances of everything, he's going to start a game. It's not whether or not he should start a game has ever been my argument. My argument's always been, hopefully he's ready and they don't just throw him out there to the wolves and put him in a spot to not succeed whatsoever. That my definition of success and a lot of other people's definition of success are different. They just want to win a game. I want to see whether or not he can conduct an offense and play well and do those things. Because he was able to do it in college, and all of a sudden there was a bunch of NFL teams that said he couldn't do it. Brian Daboll and the Giants leading that charge. But do you think that you and I are wrong here? Because I'm just like, yeah, there's three quarterback spots. He and Dylan Gabriel get two of them. And then there's probably going to be a conversation to be had about Kenny Pickett or Joe Flacco. That, to me, is the argument. Who gets that first week starter spot, and then who probably gets traded? It's not about whether Dylan Gabriel or Shador Sanders are going to make the team. They're going to make the team. But when it comes to the other two guys, is one going to get traded, and which one is going to start the season for the Cleveland Browns, Anthony?
I would be stunned if Shador doesn't get a game, at least a game. Because, again, this is not a season where we have big-time Super Bowl aspirations. It would be a totally different scenario if that were the case, but because I think this is, in many ways, a pivot year, a rebuild, whatever you want to call it,
yeah.
We know that this is maybe this in-between year where the veterans that we've come to know and love over the Baker run, right? The playoff run and then the Joe Flacco run, like most of them are going to be gone. This is Betonio's last year. This is going to be Conklin's last year in Cleveland, most likely, right? Chubb is already done, it looks like. So you're just going one by one. I expect them to have, and who knows about JOK, I expect this to be a completely different team next year. So because of that, of course you're going to play young guys. More specifically, you're going to play young quarterbacks. That just makes sense.
216-474-0092. Frank in Cleveland, you're first up on the fan.
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Morning, Frank. Go ahead.
I just don't understand why everybody with it. I guess, let's say this, you know, and y'all afternoon host, man, he be killing me. Like, he don't like you. I don't understand it, man.
Whoa. Slow down.
Yeah,
who doesn't like who?
Who is saying what?
I be saying, man, Nick be acting like he, you know what I'm saying? Nick don't be sounding too good about Shador, man. is like he be joking about him. Like,
That'll change. That'll change. He'll
make me so mad.
You know,
I'll be like, dude.
Again, Nick changes with every other sentence he says, and I'm sure that people will make a big deal, and then he'll act like he was there from the very beginning.
I don't want to be talking about y'all employees.
Just wait until the preseason when it comes to Nick, Frank. He'll come around. Trust me. Go ahead with everything else.
Hey, if he do turn out to be good, man, y'all talking about hearing from his father. We going to hear from him if he turn out to be good, and he going to kill us after that rookie contract over with. I'm going to need my first-round rookie money y'all was supposed to give me, and I'm going to need that Deshaun Watson.
But if he's good enough, I don't care. I don't care about that.
I don't care who really quarterback, man, and where everybody went. I didn't like Kenny Pickett, but that game that he put us and scorched us when our defense was good, I know Stefanski can coach bum quarterbacks, man. It's scary that Kenny Pickett is here, man.
Wait a minute. We had a nighttime game against Kenny Pickett once, and he was throwing to people that I don't think are alive. Like he was throwing to completely ghost spaces. Which game did he torch us in?
Wasn't it a day game?
I swear to God, I don't remember. I remember Doc Hodges beat us.
300-some yards. I think he – or did he try to come – no, he ain't come back that Monday night game because I was at that game. It was a day game. I think he killed us that first year or something.
You got to look it up. Frank, thank you very much for the call. You're going to have to look it up. There is something when it comes to Kenny Pickett I totally agree with Nick on. I just don't want to see him change his opinion on that one. That one's coming up later.
I was just going to say quickly, last year – they went through five starting quarterbacks. In 2023, they went through five starting quarterbacks. 2022, two. 2021, three. Then it was Baker all year. But this is – and the way it's trending around the NFL, too, because you've seen more quarterbacks used each and every year. Even middle-of-the-road teams are just flying through quarterbacks. So the odds are that, yeah, Shador is going to play and start. And depending on what happens, I mean, you know, Dylan Gabriel too.
Well, going back to what he was just saying, I don't know what I said about Nick just a moment ago. There was a thing. Can you bring up the Aditi clip if you want to? Because you know, I know that they're trying to win some football games here. And I'm going to ask Daryl about this coming up at 8:02. But I'm hearing a couple of different things here from a couple of different people that I just don't understand. Is where I think that, I think that we're trying to figure out between four different QBs which one's going to give us any sort of a shot for the future or whether or not we just need to take a QB in next year and use the two first-round picks. I think that that's going to be a conversation that's in the back of our mind the entire time and something we have the entire regular season. But when it comes to like a guy like Kenny Pickett, I think a lot of fans feel the same way I do. I don't have very much hope for Kenny Pickett whatsoever. I want him to do well now because he's in a Cleveland Browns uniform and he used to play for the Steelers, and I'd love to stick it to the Steelers, but I have no faith. So I'm just trying to be as realistic as possible, thinking, yeah, I think that this isn't the worst roster in the NFL. I think that if they can follow along and run the offense, they can win six games, but I also know that, hey, the bottom tends to fall out on this thing more often than not. And that means that you will get to a point where, yeah, naturally you're going to see Shador Sanders or you're going to see Dylan Gabriel. So when Aditi, who I love, when she says this, I start to be thrown off a little bit. Go ahead.
This is a huge opportunity for Kenny Pickett. We are making every excuse for him in saying perhaps he was overdrafted, perhaps expectations were too high, perhaps he was in an extremely dysfunctional offense, perhaps he didn't have any support. All of these things we are saying, right? Yeah. I'm saying perhaps. In my mind, these were all definite. But okay, he went the Sam Darnold route. He went to a functional organization where he got great coaching. When I talked to Nick Sirianni, he said that Kenny Pickett took advantage of it also. So now here's your chance. Just like Sam Darnold went to Minnesota and showed, hey, I'm not the guy you thought I was with the Jets, Kenny's got a chance to go out there and say, I'm not the guy that you wrote me off as in Pittsburgh.
I think I know where you're thinking on this, Anthony, but I just want to nail it down one more again. Here's Aditi on Pickett's, and this is here on 93.7, the Fan over in Pittsburgh. Here's Aditi on Pickett's experience with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
people doubt it when I say this or mock me for when I say it. It's actually a pretty common feeling, a pretty common sentiment in the football world that Kenny Pickett was drafted into a situation that was as far from supportive and as far from positive for a young quarterback as there could be. It was a completely dysfunctional offense with an offensive coordinator who was in over his head. As Terry Bradshaw said, didn't have great offensive line play, didn't have a great run game. There was no support system for a young quarterback.
So that was all bad and true about the Pittsburgh Steelers' experience with Kenny Pickett or Kenny's experience with the Steelers. Of all those words, what doesn't describe the Browns over these last so many years? Lack of support, lack of stability, the stable organization. Or Sam Darnold, he went on to Minnesota. We're not in the same boat as Minnesota. I think that that's been proven here. Now, I think that Kevin Stefanski is a better offensive coordinator than Ken Dorsey. I do think that Mike Bloomgren will be an improvement over what you dealt with Andy Dickerson halfway through the year, and then there was just ghost coaching there for that way. I think that that will be somewhat of an improvement, but who am I, and Nick said the same thing yesterday, who am I to say that we're in a much better position than that team? I don't think we can.
I totally forgot about Ken Dorsey already. The Ken Dorsey experience. Well,
it was a disaster. Who am I to say that we're in a much better situation than that is?
I think most people would say that Stefanski is a much better offensive mind than, you know, a lot of what Pittsburgh has had to work with over the last how many years. With that said, though, it hasn't been a lot of great stuff to write about or to talk about.
It hasn't
when it comes to the Browns offense recently.
And I think that there's been some positives here, but certainly much more positives than what they've had in the past, but it's still been overwhelmingly negative when it's been bad. And it's been very bad at times here, to the point where people are surprised that people even have jobs. And I can't say anything based on the Pittsburgh experience. And then when it comes to Philadelphia, guys, the only things that we have really in common with the Philadelphia Eagles is that you do have family members of Andrew Berry who worked there, and Andrew Berry worked there. Okay, that's a tie. And they're both NFL football teams, and that's about it. We do not have much in common with the Philadelphia Eagles. Philadelphia has clearly defined people who are in charge of their football team and clearly defined people who are in charge in their locker room as players. We do not have that. They have a good quarterback. We do not know what we have as far as good quarterbacks. They have bona fide stars on defense. We got a couple. And then I think there's a bunch of guys we're hoping with. Same thing with offense. What on earth do we have in common with the Philadelphia Eagles? So I can't compare Kenny Pickett's Philadelphia Eagles experience to the Browns. I can try to make a comparison with the Pittsburgh Steelers, but it's not positive. So this whole thing about the Kenny Pickett experience is going to be much better, that's a sell job. That is not an expectation. My expectation for Kenny Pickett is more of the same. I hope I'm wrong, but I can only go by what I've seen with both the Browns offense and Kenny Pickett's offense with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I do think Kevin Stefanski is worlds better than Matt Canada and Ken Dorsey. But is Kenny Pickett going to be able to do the things that are necessary to get the job and hold on to the job when he doesn't have Philadelphia's defense or offensive line or all the other things that Philadelphia has had when he was a backup for them and had to play some games because of Jalen Hurts being injured? No, I don't. Mitch joins us for this segment because he used the term guy's guy when it comes to Timothy Chalamet, who was at the Knicks game last night, correct? It was Knicks Pacers game five of the Eastern Conference Finals.
He was there. John Stewart was there. Susie Essman from Curb Your Enthusiasm, she was there.
Which one does she play?
She is the one that is married to Jeff Garland.
She's the wife?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, she's fun.
Miles Teller, you familiar with his work?
He was in the Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah.
That's who it is. Yeah. Okay, because I was like, Miles Turner plays in Whiplash, which
is a great movie.
Yeah, I didn't see it, but I've heard it was great. Amazing. Ben Stiller is there. He's having a resurgence. Yeah.
And Timothy Chalamet, who I know nothing about, other than his sports.
And Kendall,
I know he knows sports.
And Kendall Jenner, which he's bringing to every game. He was bringing her to the games in Boston.
Kylie Jenner.
Mitch is 28 years old, and Mitch had said that Timothy Chalamet is a man's man. And or a guy's guy. And I said, well, I don't think even you're a guy's guy. Which to Mitch stared me down like, I think Mitch is going to kill me someday. I will die at Mitch's hand. And as he closed the door, Owen goes, no. In that generation, that's a guy's guy. Because you
said Chalamet.
And then in that generation, maybe Mitch is a guy's guy, and I need to take this back. So what, first off, before we bring Mitch in on this, can you guys, I mean, I know I'm 5 years younger than you and 4 years younger than you. We're the same.
Yeah.
What is a guy's guy to us three?
Oh, well, when I was younger, and if we were talking actors, Brad Pitt seemed to be always in the movie. Like, he was either the ass kicker, or he was always ripped in his roles. And I think he comfortably
that's on the low end of guy's guy to me from our generation. I think ours is easily summed up as, we are from the steroid generation. Everything we did was bigger, faster, stronger. It's a great documentary if you haven't seen it.
I've seen that.
Everything was pumped up, and it was the ultimate warrior, right? Of just being fast and yelling, and that's kind of how our personalities are. Loud and abrasive at times, right?
That's
Ken and
boy.
And that is not what sells today in 2025.
Oh, so now you're calling us relics.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go that far for crying out loud.
I'm sure it could sell on occasion.
Oh, great. Okay. I didn't ask you yet. All right. So that's
exactly what I'm talking
about. Our generation's definition of a guy's guy.
Talking down to Mitch.
I'm not even talking down to him. I'm just saying I didn't ask for his opinion of a guy's guy for our generation.
I try to talk down to him 3 or 4 times a day.
He's not our generation, so he wouldn't know. Is that your definition standard of a guy's guy? Anything you would like to add? Because you're not abrasive, but you've done manual labor. You know how to change a tire. You know how to mow your grass, the people next door, her husband.
You did a lot of hard work and things coming up.
Yeah, people don't realize Lima is well versed in manual labor.
Well, what I'm wondering is I always use actors as a way to explain it, because we don't know the guy that's working on the farm. Like, so who is it?
Well,
who depicts the guy's guy?
A man's man or a guy's guy is somebody that's probably doing their own projects around the house, that type of thing, instead of just immediately going, just pay for that. Unless you have the means to do it.
If it comes
to
actor,
Anthony, you redid cabinets and stuff like that. I don't know that you wanted to.
No, I didn't.
But you did them because that's what had to be done.
The gamut goes from like Brad Pitt for Lima to like John C. Reilly for me. I think that's where the gamut runs. Guys. So you mentioned Timothy Chalamet.
Yes.
What is a guy's guy to a 28-year-old Mitch?
Well, I said it in relation to what I think public perception was of Timothy Chalamet back in the day, where he had so many roles that were more centric towards like what women were kind of into, that guys didn't take him in that light.
He seemed soft to many people.
Like wiry, very thin, like not...
Waifish?
A little bit, but over the years, he's cultivated that not only in his roles and his performances, but the way in which his personality has been able to come out into the public. He's into sports, into video games, he's big into hip-hop music. Like, he's able to kind of connect with guys and girls now. It's the best of both worlds.
Yeah, you never know with actors, because I assume they're all short. And I thought, especially him, I thought he was short and skinny. He's fine. I'm seeing him for that role he played for Bob Dylan in that movie.
In the Bob Dylan movie.
Says he got up to 205. And not all muscle, right?
He was roid raging every day.
Oh, he was?
No, he wasn't.
No, okay, I was going
to
say.
Man, I wish I had a reason to go pound burgers.
He's taller than I thought he was.
5'10".
Yeah.
Do you know how tall your famed Sylvester Stallone is? Your guy's guy.
Yeah. Yeah, he's short,
Stallone.
Right?
Yeah.
He's like 5'5". How tall is
Tom Cruise? Like 4'11"? Tom Cruise is short.
He is very short.
All right. I see the pictures of Timothy Chalamet. See, I don't remember him without a mustache. He looks different without the mustache. He looks very cherubic.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
without the mustache.
Right. He's got the square jaw. Yeah.
Let me just ask you.
Yeah.
A 28-year-old man in America, right, Mitch? Your generation and younger. Mm-hmm. Do they know how to change? Should they know how to change a tire?
They should. I do.
Okay. Should they know how to mow grass?
I would say yes.
Should they know how to change a filter on a furnace? It's not hard.
Oh, come on. That's an easy
now
guy.
We're separating here a bit.
All you got to do is buy the filter. Hell, you can go ahead and take a look at the filter.
That's the easiest job that
the easiest thing
you
got to
put
it
in the right direction.
Now, the difference, though, I think, between Mitch and us is, Mitch, you've never owned your own home, correct?
No, I have not.
You've never lived in a home where you had to take care of that type of home maintenance thing, right?
Not myself, no.
Right. You have Big Gary to do that stuff.
You do have that. Now, Gary Spinell, there's a man's man. There's a guy's guy.
You met him one time.
No, I've met him twice. I've talked to him on the phone.
That's right.
It's time to spill the tea on your father here, Mitch. All right. Go ahead.
But remember, your dad has a reputation because he's an AD.
Yes.
And your dad is known around Northeast Ohio, friends, as a guy's guy.
He can't be a soft guy and be an AD.
No. Yeah, but like most football coaches, right? Football coaches, you'd look at most of them and say it. Basketball coaches, would you?
Yeah, some.
Wrestling coaches, sure.
Hell yeah.
Sure. What do you say about golf coaches?
Well, normally the golf coach is...
I knew a golf coach who was a total psycho.
...is somebody who's also coaching one of the other sports and just wants the supplement.
That was my dad, for a number of years.
Your dad was the golf coach?
Yeah, he was a very good golf coach.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, he took his team to state runner-up one year.
He took them?
Were you on the team?
Or he just had
no, guys? I was too young. I was the manager at that time, yeah.
Did he take them to states, or he just had a bunch of... kids on the team.
He's not a good golfer. That's the thing too. He had a lot of good kids.
Box 12. He said, "Hey, let's try to get this ball into the hole before we get bogey."
He was like John Daly's golf coach. He didn't put somebody on like a crash diet of whiskey and popcorn and cigarettes.
Nobody had a kid who was similar to John Daly in that he had 75 wings one night before a golf match.
Boy, I like Straws Vegas more and more the more he talks. Man, it just seems like a good town.
Gotta get
All
down,
right. Mitch. Thank you very much. For
thank
the
you.
Time. That, you know what?
But
that's
you
not
wouldn't
bad.
See him.
Mitch is more of a guy's guy than I thought.
He's playing characters, but if you saw him in the Wonka movie, you wouldn't look at him and go, Dune, guy's guy.
Dune is the one. Dune's the one that you watch and like, this is the guy.
Dune just looks like it's a chore. It looks arduous. It just looks like it's going to take me
I
all
gave
night.
It 15 minutes and wasn't really paying attention. What's and I'm that? Like, this is not the right setting.
Not what's a big that sand
one,
guy.
What's that one Christopher Nolan movie?
There was
movie?
Too much sand.
What's that one Christopher Nolan movie he made after Dark Batman Knight. Where he was feeling himself? No, it was like...
Tenet?
Yes!
Yeah.
Oh, God, I tried to watch that one night, and holy jeez.
It was one I had to stop, go on the internet. The premise is awesome. If you look at the premise of what the movie is, it's an awesome premise. Whether or not they were able to
I had one,
pull it
we
off.
Should have had Mitch while we were in there.
Man.
Do you think Mike McDaniel's a guy's guy? Dolphins
no.
head coach?
No.
Because I wonder if this generation does.
No, I do not.
No.
I don't either.
Seemed like a fun hang back in the day. I'm not going to lie.
Power rank the football coaches who are guys, guys.
Well, there's an obvious number one I got to get to.
Here we go. Can I go first or do you want to go first, Owen?
No, go ahead.
Number one, Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, that's the obvious number.
That's the guy's guy right there. Number two, Andy Reid.
Okay, I was going to go Jim Harbaugh, not John. I was going to go Jim Harbaugh.
I probably agree with that.
Number three has to be Jim Harbaugh.
What are we doing?
You know
with,
what? No.
What
no,
are we doing with the Lions?
You got Dan
no.
Campbell. He's over Andy
Reid. I was
going to
go Dan Campbell, yeah.
I think that I'm thinking of different guys here. Because Andy Reid, yeah, because these are all football-obsessed guys. Like, John Harbaugh, I feel, has other interests, but I don't, I'm not sure. Nah, damn, it becomes tough. Yeah, I'm going to say Dan Campbell's just a man. In every word, but is he a man's man? Yeah, he's got to
okay,
be a man's
man. Okay, but we got to get introspective.
He's a guy's guy.
Where do we classify Kevin Stefanski? Is the women loved him. The women loved him from day one. So I don't know if that eliminated him as a guy's guy.
But I'm going to start saying things that people are going to roll their eyes at.
His soft demeanor, things that we really, especially 2021, 2022, that callers would call in and go, we need Kev to step up. He needs to be a little louder.
You don't consider Ivy League guys as guys.
All
guys.
Right, that's true.
Dump me if I go a little too far with this.
Okay, I'll get it ready.
You and I, because I might say too much and I don't want to. Anthony and I don't know Kevin like, hey, buddy, like not like that.
Let me real quickly play you two examples. Is this a guy's guy?
Setbacks pave the way for comebacks.
I want to let the record show, just to make sure that we're doing this the right way. We have only mentioned white guys as guys.
That's true. Terry Crews.
Okay, I want to make sure.
Terry Crews is guys.
Say, hey, there's a bunch of white guys just mentioning white guys.
Wait,
guys.
Mike Tomlin not a guy's guy?
Well, so he's the one that popped into my head. How have we not mentioned Mike Tomlin?
Well, Mike Tomlin's a guy's guy. I was just thinking of successful coaches.
Owen's not going with it?
No, you're fine.
Okay.
Just all right. Sure.
Like Raheem Morris is probably a guy's guy.
If Mike Singletary was coaching.
Honestly, the only guy's guy who's
Mike Singletary will pull your pants down.
That's
on the
a guy's
sideline.
Guy. Yes.
He will pants you right there in front of God and everybody. Who is probably the only guy I can think of who's not a guy's guy who's a head coach. It's got to be Mike McDaniel. That's it. Who else?
Shanahan.
Oh, yeah, Shanahan. Yeah. But you know what? His players will say different. John Greco will say different. Yeah, John will call in and say he's a guy's guy.
I think McVay would get a split. I think some people would say
people
he's a guy's
guy. Well, people think he's a pretty boy.
Right.
But Chalamet is a pretty boy.
Correct.
Is McVay a guy's guy?
So it's only he's ripped, right?
Kevin O'Connell,
I mean, he's a
guy's
built guy.
Yeah. Kevin O'Connell's a guy's guy.
LaFleur, guy's guy?
No.
I was going to say
bingo,
no.
Bingo, there's number two.
And people are going, what are you basing any of this on?
Shane Steichen.
How we feel.
And the reality is...
Shane Steichen, not a guy's guy.
It's a gut instinct.
Jonathan Gannon, guy's guy? I think he is a little bit, but he did go to Ignatius, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but he didn't go to Ed's. Ed's has more guys. Let's call it. Let's call that right now.
What are we doing with Brian Hoyer?
I love Brian, but he's
not a guy's guy?
He's not as much of a guy's guy as what, like... Alex Boone. Alex Boone's a guy's guy.
You gotta have knee braces to be a guy's guy.
Because I had to think of an Ed's guy. Like, yeah, I'm sorry. Of the Bailey brothers, sorry. They are more guy's guys than what Brian Hoyer is. I beg your pardon. I know, Brian, we love you. But you go to Ed's, you're more of a guy's guy. Let me say this about Kevin. He does not sound like a guy's guy in front of microphones.
Yeah, what does he sound like when the microphones aren't there?
You and I have talked to Kevin without microphones. Kevin is more of a guy's guy than he lets on to be. I will say that. It's probably why I get so defensive of him sometimes for stupid reasons, and then I have to... Eventually, I mean, if this thing don't get turned around, I mean, I've got to have to take the gloves off at some point, don't I? But I don't like to do that for guys because I'm a guy's guy.
That's true.
Guys on the station. Jeff Phelps, guy's guy. Baskin, guy's guy. Honestly, the only guy I think that isn't a guy's guy on this station
is me.
No, you are a guy's guy.
Am I?
Yes, you are.
I don't know about that.
You know who's
not putting you in the guy's guy?
You're not going to put him in the guy's guy category?
I'm not putting myself.
I know too much about him.
I'm not putting myself in the guy's guy
category. All right, you know who's the only guy who's on the station who's not a guy's guy?
I know who you're
going to say. Well, now I want to know. Who do you think I'm going to say? Say it on the air, Owen. Say it on the air.
You're going to say Peter Lynn.
That's exactly who I'm going to say. Yeah, sorry.
A guy who has a golf simulator in his house, and you're going to say he's not
a guy. He has a golf simulator in his house?
No, he just has a net, and he hits into it.
Oh, okay.
That counts.
He's in his old apartment.
He's simulating golf.
I don't know what he's doing over there in Noso or wherever he lives now.
Yeah. When you're making up a neighborhood that doesn't exist that you say you live in, you're not a guy's guy. Chris Fedor was on with Afternoon Drive from Cleveland.com. Says the Cavs need more playoff performers. Hit it.
I think the thing that they understand based on everything that transpired this year is that they don't have enough playoff level performers on this roster, and they have to find a way to get more of those guys. And maybe they look at it and say, well, you know, being through the experience is going to benefit Darius Garland. Being through the experience is going to benefit Kenny Atkinson and Evan Mobley. And some of these other guys are going to be more hardened by that. But I think the comments from Kobe Altman at the end of the season about the difference between mastering the 82-game season and the 16-game season and everything that we've seen at this stage of the playoffs with some of these other teams and how they're having success and the type of player that they have on their roster. I think the Cavs are honestly asking themselves, do we have enough guys that can be playoff performers, high-level playoff performers?
He goes further, says that the Cavaliers need to master the playoffs.
I do think...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Cavs have mastered the regular season, and I do think they have shown that they've got 82-game players. But do they have enough 16-game players the way that Indiana does, the way that New York does? And if you're starting to have conversations about trying to add more 16 players to this roster, it becomes a little bit complicated based on their salary cap situation, based on their limited assets. And sometimes that requires making some painful decisions. And sometimes that requires opening yourself up to listening and being more open to an idea of moving off of some guys that you may really, really like.
That's Chris Fedor on Afternoon Drive. The next time you'll get the chance to hear him is coming up on June 20th. So mark your calendars on this show. So you hear what he has to say, and I know that you've shared the Jrue Holiday thing, and you took a lot of heat for that.
People didn't like that at all.
I didn't like it, to be honest with you. There's other names there that obviously are mentioned. You know, I'm one of the people who, when it comes to Jared Allen, I really think in so many ways you've reached your pinnacle of Jared Allen. I don't know how much further he can go. So if you wanted to talk about Jared Allen, okay, when it comes to Darius Garland, we got to be careful with him. I mean, he is a two-time All-Star. I know that he has his good years now and he has his bad years now. I wonder if basketball players, and I'm asking you before we fight, are basketball players, can I look at them almost the same way as pitchers, where it's like, David Price isn't a good playoff pitcher until he pitches well in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Clayton Kershaw is a terrible postseason until he pitches really well in the postseason. Then that goes away. Can I do the same thing for basketball players, can I?
There are guys that break through. There are guys that, you know, you wonder when are they going to put together a good playoff run. We thought maybe Julius Randle was one of those until, you know, the last few games. Karl Anthony Towns. The people thought he would be played off the floor in every playoff series. It turns out depends on the matchups. So certainly I would be surprised with a guy as talented as Darius Garland. I would be stunned if he never has a good playoff series. Now, I don't know if he's ever going to be a big time playoff performer for an entire run of a playoff season. And sometimes you don't need to do that. So you need other guys to step up and do that. But I do think there is one mistake a lot of people are making when, especially the Cavs fans that never want to change the team. They think Kobe Altman has done a great job to this point, which I think he has too, but that somehow Kobe Altman can't make new trades to make the team even better. I do think they're making a mistake, which is, and I think Chris Fedor kind of alluded to it. We know this team with Darius Garland, Donovan Mitchell, Jared Allen, Evan Mobley, they could fall out of bed next year, and as long as they stay healthy, they could have a chance to threaten for 60 wins again if they're trying. If they're really competing and trying to win regular season games, like in the East next year, as watered down as the East is, at least as it stands right now, things could change. I do think some teams are going
to
make moves.
Well, wait a minute. Am I skipping a step? Because I want to get to the finals. I don't care about, or I want to win the finals. I don't care about the Eastern Conference. Yeah. This is supposed to be a finals basketball team that's capable of winning the championship. So if it's just getting guys that we can get through the East, I'm not excited by that. Especially if Boston's going to make changes here.
Well, you wouldn't
get
excited to get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Would I?
Yeah, I think you would. That'd be another step, right?
What if I lost in the Eastern Conference Finals?
Obviously, circumstances matter. We kind of take these year by year.
I don't think the Eastern Conference Finals matter anymore. I think people want the finals now. You've lost twice in the second round. You're going to have to skip a step to get people excited.
You don't think people would be excited about winning, you know, 60 games and getting one round further next year? Like, let's say they beat the Pacers next year to get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
And then they lost to who in the Eastern Conference
Finals? Yeah, I mean, it could be a team that we don't know. Could be an Orlando team that made a deal, right? And could have a big-time player addition to Pop.
So we're going to lose to an Orlando team that started after us on their rebuild?
Well, that's...
That's going to make me excited?
I think that is a reality that these teams are going to be in flux. Teams are going to make moves to either get ahead. I mean, obviously, it's very disappointing. Who had the Pacers ahead of us? And yet here we are. You know, two straight years, they get to the Eastern Conference Finals. I think it's not always going to be linear, but I have a bigger point here.
Okay.
I have a bigger point that is Darius Garland, Yeah, and he's better than Jalen Suggs. He's a better player than Jalen Suggs. But he's also a better player than TJ McConnell. Who would you rather have in the playoffs right now? He's a better player than Alex Caruso. Who's a better playoff player? Like, I think people have to understand that there are guys that become better players. Like, nobody had Evan Mobley behind Pascal Siakam in their rankings. Who'd you rather have in the playoffs? Siakam. So, and by the way, I do think Evan Mobley will eclipse that down the road. I'm not saying trade Evan Mobley
for Pascal Siakam.
Yeah, I do think there is some common sense here. Like, Darius Garland is an incredible, and through the first 3 months of the year, he was as good as anybody. He was clutch. He was shooting the ball well.
See,
I do have my doubts that Darius Garland is ever going to not only make it through the entire regular season, but then play at that same level in the playoffs because the game is officiated differently. Defenses are more physical. They allow hand checking and more contact, and it's tougher to get through the gauntlet for guys his size. There are very few test cases. There are very few examples of guys of Darius's stature that can get to the playoffs and then even elevate their game. Jalen Brunson's one of them, and he does get picked on defensively, but he's able to make it through. He's able to outplay guys like Donovan Mitchell. He's done it before.
I disagree with you. I totally disagree with you. I look at Jared Allen. Jared Allen has reached his ceiling. Donovan Mitchell has reached his ceiling, but his ceiling is so much higher than anybody else's right now. Evan Mobley and Darius Garland have not reached their ceilings. So I am going to still bet on Darius. And I'm sure a lot of people are going to agree with you because I know that Darius Garland is 6'2 and slight. I'm betting that Darius Garland's ceiling is still going to be higher than Suggs, Caruso. Okay, fine. He's 5'1". He's smaller than Tom Cruise now all of a sudden.
I think in the playoffs, they look even shorter, unfortunately.
So anyway, Evan Mobley's ceiling is going to get higher. I'm betting on that. That means that Darius Garland is going to be freed up for more opportunities, which makes him a more competitive, or excuse me, that competitive is not the word, makes him a more viable NBA playoff player. That's why I'm not moving him for Jalen Suggs, Alex Caruso, or TJ McConnell. Yeah, they're better right now. I think they play with guys who might space it out a little bit better. If Evan reaches the point where he's supposed to reach, I think it frees up Darius Garland. I got nothing for Jared Allen. It's easy for me, a guy like me, to take swings at Jared Allen, even though I think he has maybe the strongest fan base of any of these players. What?
As Evan Mobley continues to get better and is going to initiate the offense more, I can't have Darius Garland taking up all the shots, all the usage, all the ball handling.
But like, I don't think he has to. Wouldn't it become so much clearer,
guys,
with Evan?
That's part of the problem. If Darius was injured, and I believe he was, and I did give him credit for gutting it out and playing and responding to the pressure that he had, the issue was, why was it that he was the one that took more shots? How many shots did he take in the elimination game 5? And he clearly didn't have it. Like, that's one of the problems. He is obstructing the growth of right now. The two guards in conjunction actually are kind of stymieing the growth of Evan Mobley. When the ball is in their hands, it can't be in Evan Mobley's hands, and it's going to limit the trajectory of Evan Mobley. So I think going forward, this team, especially in the Donovan Mitchell window, and we've all talked about 2 years, I think they'd be better off with Donovan Mitchell, Evan Mobley, and a longer, more athletic, defensive-minded player.
Like Alex Caruso and Jalen Suggs and TJ McConnell.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. It sounds ridiculous on paper, but people with eyes are watching the playoffs. Who would you rather have in the playoffs this year?
So everybody else is just watching with blindfolds on?
I want people to ponder that. Who would you rather have in the playoffs? Would you rather have Darius Garland, there's no proof of concept of him being good in the playoffs? Or would you rather have those guys that have limited offensive games that are bringing it defensively, and at times, McConnell's hitting big shots.
I'll ask Daryl about this.
I saw Suggs outplay Darius Garland 2 years ago.
He is our Browns beat reporter. So I'd be okay with losing to Orlando in the Eastern Conference Finals.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.